This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Microsoft's GovCon Straight Talk. This show educates finance and project management executives on the ever-changing compliance requirements necessary to do business with the government. Today's show will focus on earned value management. Here's your show moderator, Tom Temin.
Welcome to the show. Our topic today is earned value management, and we have some experts here to talk about it. They are Bill Ayton. He's the president of SSI Consulting. Tony Barrett, the CEO of Value Technology. Richard Hayden, he's the Vice President of Marketing for Uninet Technologies, and Christine Zamuda, she's the Engagement Manager for Microsoft's Government Contracts Division. Nice to have you all on the show. And Christine, I'm going to give you the first question, and that's a pretty basic one. Why is Microsoft into earned value management?
Well, Microsoft is very interested in earned value management because our customers are interested in earned value management. We're often pulled in to help assist them in either getting more out of their existing accounting solutions or replacing their accounting solution to get earned value management capabilities.
All right, and we're going to back up just a second here and ask Tony Barrett of Value Technology to explain for us what is earned value management.
Well, earned value management, there's a lot of misperceptions about it. It's really seven principles out of the national standard. Five of the principles most companies already have in place. They plan their work. They break their work down into small, discrete units. They use actual costs to measure whether or not they're meeting their cost objectives. And they objectively assess the accomplishments against that, and then they analyze variances against their plan. What's normally missing from a normal project management system are the two next steps, which is to integrate your technical scope, your cost, and your schedule baselines into one performance measurement baseline. And then the seventh thing that's missing is to actually use EVM to correct your course and get yourself back on plan.
So it sounds like it keeps agencies from paying what they actually haven't bought yet.
Well, the one elevator speech for earned value management is plan what you're actually going to get and then measure whether or not you're actually getting it.
And Richard Hayden of Uninet Technologies, tell us what contractors should do when they want to get on board with earned value management and prove that they have this process in place when bidding.
Well, good project management practices are at the core of EVM, and so small and medium-sized businesses really should adopt an approach that's integrated with their day-to-day of work and day-to-day way of managing projects. So they really don't need a different, overhead, complex way of earned value compliance.
Now, for EVM, is there like a software solution that produces EVM? Is this like a package, sort of like project management, that you can run on your systems to make sure you're doing it right?
Well, there are many tools that will enable the process, but it's about the organization determining the right approach and then building the technology to support that.
Okay, and what about defense contracts? And that's a specialized area where you hear about that a lot. Bill Ayton, tell us how that can apply in that particular situation when bidding on defense contracts or trying to fulfill them.
Well, one of the things that that any contractor has to have is the ability to measure their costs, and the accounting system is the foundation of doing that. So you have to have a place where you can track actual costs and actual processes. So Microsoft has great tools for that, and then from that foundation you can then ensure that you're accomplishing the goal and the costs that you need to accomplish.
Okay, and Christina, we'll go to you on that point. Since Microsoft has these tools, are these tools something that are available as a service, mm-hmm. software as a service, or mm-hmm. is it a package you buy? How do agencies or contractors get involved with it?
Sure. Well, we actually have two options. We're the only provider, really, that gives you an on-premise option, which is how most people commonly deploy financial management systems, or you can actually take that solution and have it hosted as well.
So it could be a cloud application is what everybody's talking about these days.
And what we're also doing as part of the Microsoft Dynamics platform is extending add-on services in the cloud. So we can have a financial management system that could be on-premise or off, and then also extend that functionality with subscription services.
And Tony, let's ask you the question now. This service exists and people want to measure progress and performance using EVM. Is there a component that has to be on the client or buyer side as well as on the contractor side? How do the two sides get together on what the EVM values and parameters are as they go through execution of a contract?
The bureaucratic interaction between the buyer and the sellers is what's called an earned value management performance report. Okay. And I've been on both sides of that fence. And basically on the buyer side, you need someone educated to be able to read that report and first, quite frankly, figure out whether or not they're being told the truth. And then once they make that determination, to make their own management decisions about where they want to go forward with that particular project.
And Bill, is this something that contractors should, in bidding for contracts, say, hey, we have a really good EVM process in place? Is that a selling point for contractors?
Oh, definitely. It gives the contractor the confidence to take on the project and confidence that they'll be successful at achieving it.
And give us an example of how it might work in real life.
Well, many times contractors are growing. If they're successful, they're getting larger and larger, and their systems are evolving, and at some point when they get large enough to pursue a contract that requires EVM measurement, they need to have the base system and the EVM system and the system like Uninet that will help track all the pieces and parts and bring them together. So everybody's got this data in different places, and the key is, number one, having the data to start with, and number two, having a system that will allow you to measure it and report in terms of EVM.
And Richard, what are the main data elements that go into it? What do you have to know? In other words, what does EVM tell you that you would know about the contract as you go through it?
Okay. Well, the first thing is to build a plan at the right level of detail, decide what it's going to cost, when you're going to do the work. The second part then is, of course, to measure performance against that plan. How much work have I done? How much has it cost? And so on. And as a result, you can compare the performance, the cost, and the schedule. And as we talked about before, you want to do that in a way that's integrated with your normal way of doing business, because many contractors really don't want the overhead of doing this separately. They want to be part of their everyday work routine.
And how does it all tie in with project management?
Well, as part of good project management practices, you'll be doing many of the core things of EVM: planning, scheduling, tracking, comparing performance with actuals, and then taking corrective decisions. So it's all really part of the same picture.
So, Christine, and from a software standpoint, from a use standpoint, mm-hmm. is the EVM tool set something that integrates into project management mm-hmm. that companies or agencies might already have in place?
Absolutely. And what we find in, with working with Richard and Bill is most companies are already 75% there, but what we have is options. They could have integration with Microsoft Project Server today, or they could look at the Uninet solution to extend what they already have.
Now, there's a lot of third-party project tools that mm-hmm. are not Microsoft. Does
right.
this work with those as well? Is this kind of an open API?
Sure,
type of-
sure. So we've had integration. But I guess the thing we want to get across is it doesn't have to be so scary. And there are simpler, easier ways to do things. So as an example, you know, a COBRA tool for earned value management is most often overkill. So we invite folks to explore what we have to offer and get there in a simpler and less complex way.
So, Tony, you would say that's a good way to go, try to do it at a simple level first, getting started?
What I tell my clients is, I call it the crawl, walk, run approach, okay? They need to get earned value management tools and earned value management processes into their companies, but they don't need to spool up to a massive system unless they have a contract that requires that. And if they've got a scalable system in place, they can tell a good story in their proposal so that the contracting officer feels comfortable with giving them the contract, and then they can spool up post-award.
So it sounds like you might want to try it out on a task order, even not a full-blown end-to-end contract. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and I've got clients that actually use earned value management that has nothing to do with government contracting. They use it to run their companies. For smaller, growing companies, I call earned value management tough love for entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs are rewarded publicly for revenue, but nobody ever asks about their profit margin. Earned value management will rub the CEO's nose in that.
And Bill, what's an example of what can go wrong if you don't have good, rigorous EVM processes in place?
Well, number one, you may not get paid for the work that you've done.
That's pretty bad.
Right. So, and number two, you really don't know where you are in the contract. So you're in the process. You don't have an idea of how much you are going to be paid for the contract. You can't report it in ways that give your contracting officers confidence that you're in control of the project, et cetera. But I guess the main one is just that it's the end result. You have to be paid. So.
And so would you say that if you look in your experience, looking across the whole range of government contracting, is this in place EVM that is sufficient in sufficient quantity so that most contracts are under it, or do we have a long way to go? Is this like a green field type of application?
I think it's relatively new. In the last two or three years, I think you were hearing more and more EVM requirements and expectation. It's kind of a hot topic right now. So it's something that contractors are looking to learn more about, to get their systems to support it more. And it does require, you know, someone like Tony who can guide a company to through the process of doing it. They're doing lots of pieces and parts of it, but they need to bring it together. And that's where most people are. They've got the base components, but they don't know how to put it together.
And Richard Hayden, what have you found going into agencies in terms of the training that's required?
Well, I think there needs to be education on both sides. Is the level of EVM and the degree of rigor required appropriate for the type of contract and the risk? Because EVM is a way of managing risk. So both sides need to think, what is the right level of control? What's the right level of detail that will actually give both parties the outcomes they want?
And Tony, is the training available through some of places like, say, National Defense University, surveying the government? Where do people go to learn about it?
There are in-house training organizations like the National Defense University. Learning Tree International now has it on GSA schedule. The Federal Acquisition Center of Excellence training program for project management has an EVM component. Actually, I'm one of their instructors for that particular engagement.
So we're talking right to the horse's mouth, you might say. Well, that's okay. And Christine, does that help you in Microsoft sell this product? Say, look, there's ways you don't have to ask us. There are third-party, independent, objective people that can help you not only learn the value of it, but learn how it works.
Absolutely, Tom. We also have an organization we've worked closely with, Management Concepts, and that's basically all they do is EVM training. They were working with us recently on a white paper that is actually all focused on earned value management best practices, and that's going to be published this month with Washington Technology Magazine. So it's almost Earned Value Management Month for Microsoft Dynamics.
Well, that's one of my alma mater magazines, so I'll make sure I pull it out and read it.
Good.
Glad to know they're still going strong.
Fantastic.
And so looking at the federal workforce bill, what would you say is the sufficiency of the numbers of people that know what they're doing with respect to earned value management? We said it's greenfield in terms of how many people, how many agencies are using it. How about the workforce? Is there enough people out there to do this?
Well, I think it's evolving. I think that it's probably a lot of interest in it. It's something where the whole population of government contractors needs to understand the process, because everybody's doing components of it, but if they don't have the knowledge of how it all fits together, then they really don't know where they stand with it. So I'd say that it's an area that there's strong demand to know more about EVM at all levels.
So it sounds like this is an area where there could be a community built really around EVM. Would you say so, Tony?
Actually, yeah, the community exists within what's called the College of Performance Management, which is part of the Project Management Institute. It's incestuous. We talk to ourselves twice a year in week-long conferences, but we're seeing more and more interest of government people who have nothing to do with EVM coming to the conference to become familiar with the concept.
Well, we're going to get the word out in this roundtable over 50,000 watts, and this is the GovCon Straight Talk Earned Value Management Roundtable. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Mm. Microsoft Dynamics is a powerful financial management solution for government contractors. This accounting solution is designed for forward-thinking executives who are interested in more than just meeting DCAA, FAR, and CAS requirements. It is compliance plus. Integrated, easy to use, works the way you do. Microsoft Financial Management Solutions for Government Contractors. You now have a choice in the marketplace. Put simply, Microsoft Dynamics is compliance plus. Visit dynamicsbymicrosoft.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Earned Value Management Roundtable. It's one of the GovCon Straight Talk series. And our guests today are Bill Ayton. He is president of SSI Consulting. Tony Barrett, CEO of Value Technology. Richard Hayden, he's the vice president of marketing for Uninet Technologies. And Christine Zamuda, she's the engagement manager for Microsoft Government Contracts Division. And the question I wanted to start this segment with is this. Very basically, what types of contracts is Earned Value Management, EVM, appropriate for? When's it a good fit, and when can you probably get away without it? And let's start with you, Bill.
So I think it's a good fit, number one, if a company is able to do it. So, you know, you probably have requirements in the contract for EVM, so that's obviously a place where it's appropriate, but you need to have systems that are able to measure and report on EVM.
And Richard, what's your take on that?
Well, certainly, of course, if it's in the contract, it's very important to respond to that need. It has to be appropriate for the size and risk of the project.
Is there a dollar value there that you can pin it on?
It will depend on the agency dramatically. The DOD has had standards, and then the various federal agencies are pushing it down to a lower level. I don't know if Tony would like to elaborate on that.
Yeah, Tony, what are some of the dollar thresholds?
Probably the dollar threshold. The best example right now is the Department of Health and Human Services, which has three levels of earned value management for IT acquisitions. They have a very low level for $1 million or less. They have a middle range for contracts of $10 million, and anything over $10 million, they demand full compliance with all the criteria.
So it sounds like it's a risk-based type of assessment, if you will.
Exactly. In fact, the National Defense Industrial Association wrote the Earned Value Management Standard, and they have an application guide, and risk-based and scalability is a major portion of that application guide.
And Christine, what are the customers that you see that are interested in this? What are they doing generally? Mm-hmm. What does Microsoft see across the acquisitions?
Sure. Well, we don't see earned value management necessarily in firm fixed price contracts, and we don't see it in, you know, common seat management contracts where it's routine ongoing task. And we actually even see some exceptions to cost plus contracts. And that's in a situation where the program manager could ask the program decision authority, i.e. DCMA, for an exception. And we were able to speak to David Kester recently. He's featured in our white paper. He's the director of EVM compliance for DCMA. And while he noted that it's more of an exception, not the rule, but there is the opportunity also for cost plus contracts not to have the earned value management requirement.
So there's different levels. Does that equate to different people that have that level of skill? Should you have a cadre of people that can do it all, or can you get by with maybe some part-time EVM type of people for the under $1 million contracts, for example? Tony?
Yep, definitely. You probably need someone with a higher skill set to help you set up your earned value management system. But once it's up and running and you've got the right tools in place, scheduling skills, accounting skills, basic project management skills is really all you need to operate your earned value management system.
And Richard, you have different people that impinge on projects in government. There's the contracting side, and then there's the program management side, which has really got the whole thing. Then under programs, you might have project managers. Then there's the money people, the bean counters, the accountants. Do they all interact through EVM? Is this something that brings those teams together or those individuals together?
You absolutely want an integrated picture, but you also recognize the different roles. The project people may have a more detailed level and detailed control desire to the accounting folks, but they do need to work off the same set of data for sure.
So does EVM give them that same set of data in a way they can all look at the thing from their particular angle, but in a way that they get, we're all looking at the same sheet of music? Tony?
Right. Exactly. As we referred to the seven principles of EVM at the beginning, this number six in that print, or one of those principles, is put cost, schedule, and technical performance all into one integrated baseline that the entire team can go against.
And Bill, does that mean that people involved in a project that have different functions, all that contributing to its success, means they don't have anywhere to hide if there's EVM going?
Well, they've got to collaborate. So you've got cost accountants that are mostly interested in what has happened and maybe what's budgeted, so they're measuring the actual results. And then you have project managers who are worried about getting the job done, and then EVM brings those two components together and determines really how much you have earned of the whole project.
And I asked earlier about the relationship between EVM and project management, and I also wanted to ask about, if there is one, a relationship between EVM and independent validation verification, IVNV. Sometimes third parties look at projects governments are doing and whether it all is going the way it should, and so you bring in a third party. Christine, does this EVM play into that part?
Well, we always recommend that our customers are looking and working with resources that are very skilled and experts. You know, that's a perfect example of why we brought the folks in the room and to participate on the panel today. They're experts in their field, and it's always good to have that third-party skilled opinion.
And Tony, would you say that this is something that maybe an IG's representative or a GAO representative could come in and look at a project and use EVM tools of their own to get an independent assessment?
In fact, it's actually happening on major programs right now. I work for an agency on a very large project. I joke that the IG and the IVNV person were sitting on my shoulder while I wrote my report so they could rip it out of my hands and give their bosses their opinion on my report.
So you just had to wear headphones like you are now and make sure they didn't whisper too much in your ear. And, Bill, a big issue nowadays is compliance. And ever since the Sarbox era has descended on corporate America, we're hearing more and more discussion of compliance in the federal financial area. How does EVM relate to compliance issues?
Right. And compliance, there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt around the compliance. Everyone knows they need to be there. They're not exactly sure what that means. And frankly, there's a lot of RFP boilerplate that would lead government contractors to think that they've got to have systems that they don't have to have. So many times it's just good to have an expert who can tell you, you need to be this compliant, and that looks like this. And then underneath that, you have to have the systems to be able to do that.
So, Richard, does that mean that there are ties into federal financial systems feeding into the EVM system?
Well, often the contractor performing the work will have their own systems in place. But I think the key thing on the subject of compliance is to think of, if you're working on a services project for the federal government, you really don't want to have a lot of overhead. So you may be complying with DCA timekeeping, you may be complying with the travel regulations, you may be complying with EVMS. And so you really want to make sure you have an integrated, smooth, automated approach to make sure you don't have overhead that's going to kill your margin.
And Christine, what comes out of an EVM system? Do you get reports on a regular basis? Can that be adjusted?
Mm-hmm.
Can the level of detail? Tell us about how it works in terms of output.
Sure. Well, you definitely get reports, and I think it's also one measure of your project performance. So we find that many contractors who are successfully using it also see risk in their projects ahead of time, which is really why the government is asking these contractors to put these systems in place. Now, they don't always help with all of the how-tos, and that's what we're trying to do really this month in discussions like this and future webcasts.
Now, a lot of government agencies are re-engineering systems they've had in place for a long time. In some cases, they're just taking old code and they're trying to recompile it in modern languages so it's more flexible. You see this going on a lot now, especially systems that interact with people receiving benefits or something they're due in the government. Can earned value management work in those situations where you have an old application and you're not really building a new functionality, but you're building a new back end to serve up that functionality? I ask that because it's something that a lot of agencies are involved with. Bill?
Sure. I think a great strategy is to leverage the experience and investment of IT firms, and Microsoft has made huge investments in business systems, and those can always provide at least the foundation for a new system. So we work with a lot of customers who are replacing custom made systems, and I think what they find is that current off-the-shelf stuff gives them gives them tremendous functionality, lots of things they never had before, and then they can customize the smallest part of that.
And, Tony, do you find that that's applicable in that area, that people that are modernizing systems? I mean, I guess that's really the word I was looking for, is modernization is happening a lot of places. Is EVM good for that process?
EVM is good for buying the systems that are it's good for buying the modern systems. EVM itself is a project management system. It's not necessarily something they would want to put in there for day-to-day operations.
So it's not really an operational backup. It's not like a software development environment that gives, that has tools that tell you what's going on.
Not unless you're in an acquisition mode, buying something.
Okay, and acquisitions sometimes run for a long time. Does EVM have the power, Richard Hayden, to speed up acquisitions?
Well, it certainly makes sure both parties understand what's being delivered, when it's being delivered, and if things aren't going according to plan, what they can do about it. So it does provide a shared understanding of performance.
Okay, Christine, review for us from the Microsoft standpoint what a project, or say a project manager, needs. Let's put that at the center of the whole process here of buying things and getting them installed. What's the full range of products and suite of tools they need to make sure that it really goes the right way?
Okay. Well, Tom, with Microsoft Dynamics, they actually, for the first time, are able to get to the information on their projects in a really detailed way. We've spent a lot of time on usability. We've spent a lot of time to enable these folks to get their information from the web. A lot of the government contractors work off-site, so they need to have the details where they're winning, where they're losing money, how they can make course corrections. And up until recently, Microsoft, we often come up against Dell Tech, right? That was the only solution for a good period of time. But now Microsoft's also offering Compliance Plus, which is more than just having a DCA compliant solution. It's actually getting project managers the information they need to make decisions.
And if people need more information, what's a good place to go get it, Christine?
Sure. Well, we have a website, dynamicsbymicrosoft.com. So that's a great place to get information, see short demos. And we also will be hosting a webcast with Washington Technology later this month, March 26th. So folks can tune into that and get even more detail on earned value management.
And Tony, final comment on other sources of information that might be useful.
Well, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to put a earned value management self-study guide up on your website as an addendum to this broadcast.
And that's federalnewsradio.com. Okay, well, we thank you all very much for a great roundtable. This has been the GovCon Straight Talk Earned Value Management Roundtable. Our guests have been Bill Ayton, he's president of SSI Consulting, Tony Barrett, CEO of Value Technology, Richard Hayden, VP of Marketing for Uninet Technologies, and Christine Zamuda, she's the Engagement Manager for Microsoft Government Contract Division. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Microsoft's GovCon Straight Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any portion of this show, you can listen to the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com.
Microsoft Dynamics is a powerful financial management solution for government contractors. This accounting solution is designed for forward-thinking executives who are interested in more than just meeting DCAA, FAR, and CAS requirements. It is Compliance Plus. Integrated, easy to use, works the way you do. Microsoft Financial Management Solutions for Government Contractors. You now have a choice in the marketplace. Put simply, Microsoft Dynamics is Compliance Plus. Visit dynamicsbymicrosoft.com to learn more.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, worldwide on federalnewsradio.com. News and information for and about the federal decision maker. Weekday mornings 6 to 10, listen to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. They'll give you the story behind the headlines and talk to the federal newsmakers themselves. Then it's In Depth with Francis Rose from 1 to 3, focusing on career development for the federal executive. 3 to 7, join Chris Dorobek and Amy Morris for the Daily Debrief. Live interactive news and analysis on the things that affect your federal career. Federal News Radio 1500 AM also broadcasts all the action of Nats baseball, Caps hockey, GW and American University basketball, Navy athletics, and DC United soccer. Visit federalnewsradio.com for the latest game information and listen on the radio or on your computer to all the game day action. Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Opponents of the Obama